something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message. The pursuit of purpose.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Ensure they have the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, they can't move. It won't work. The Holy Spirit makes timid people bold. I hear people say sometimes, I like to preach the Bible, but I can't. I feel somehow. I'm not bold to do it. I say, you need the Holy Spirit. They say, I've received the Holy Spirit. I say, what kind of Holy Spirit did you receive? Because Holy Spirit makes you drunk in God. You get it? When you receive the Holy Spirit and are full of the Holy Spirit, you are drunk. You are drunk in God. So when you meet someone who says he has the Holy Spirit and yet he says he's not bold to preach the gospel, you have to ask him, which type of Holy Spirit did you receive? If someone said, I drank and drank and drank and I was not boozed, you ask him, what kind of drink did you take? It depends on the one, you understand? There's the kind you drink and drink and drink, your stomach will only get bigger and you just be going normal. But there's the one you take a shot, hey, just a shot, and you start seeing things like this. Hallelujah. So when you have that dose of the Holy Ghost, no, things cannot be business as usual. No, it can't be business as usual. It can't be business as usual. I remember going for a meeting. I've been praying for it. You know, just with a few friends. We knew ourselves. But, you know, they weren't acting serious with God, you know. And I planned to meet. We're going to share the word I was going to share with them. So I prayed. I soaked myself in God. How do you soak yourself in God? You speak in other tongues and speak in other tongues until you prophesy. See, the prophecy is the overflowing. You see, the message on the inside starts coming out. You start prophesying like this. You declare what is going to happen about that meeting. You know, so when I was so full and I was prophesying, I got ready. I knew I was done. So I went. See, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that your preaching will be with shouting. Whether you shout or you don't shout has nothing to do with it. Even if you are just looking, did you ever read of Jonathan Edwards? Jonathan Edwards was so full of the Spirit of God. He had thick lenses, thick glasses. He put his Bible in front of him like this and just barely read out on one spot. And men were shaken with the power of the gospel because the Holy Spirit went through the building. You remember? See, I read of men like that. I couldn't have done something less. Are you hearing me? Because I was inspired to see the reality of the gospel. That's why I'm sharing this with you. I went in for that meeting. Sat down. We all sat down together. And I was sharing with them. Next thing I knew, they were feeling uncomfortable one after the other. They started crying. They were just so moved by the Spirit and broke down crying because of strong conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I wasn't shouting, just talking. They were full of the Spirit. And that was what changed their lives. I remember going into a certain room one time when I was a student. There was a lady who was laughing while I was preaching. I was talking to someone else, and she, you know, she was laughing. So I just looked up at her and I said, "If you ever see Jesus, your knees will knock together." I didn't say anything. I just went on sharing. But I knew that I was full of the Spirit. The next thing I knew, she was screaming. She needed help now. She was crying. The Spirit of God had taken control. The place was full of the Spirit. And she was led to Christ. Are you still there? I'm talking about the ministry of the Spirit in your everyday life. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes your work successful. And then you find the meeting, your cell meeting, will grow from 6 members to 8, 10, 15. The little room you are using will become too small. The moment you become conscious of His Lordship in your life, and you know that you are awakened to not only the fatherhood of God, but the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life, and the lordship of the Word of God in your life, in His partnership. You become His partner. You become concerned about His concerns. The fact that He wants to reach the whole world becomes your life's passion. The Bible states clearly that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. Meaning that it's God's purpose to reach them, that they might not perish. Because everyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ is condemned. And the only thing that brings someone out of that condemnation is the knowledge of Christ. Let's go to St. Mark's Gospel and read something for a moment, shall we? St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. I want you to read verses 15 and 16. Read verse 16 again. Then go to John chapter 3. And I want you to read from verse 16 to verse 18. St. John chapter 3. From verse 16 to verse 18. Did you see that? Read verse 18 again. He that believeth is what? Not condemned. But the one who does not believe is condemned already. And in St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, you read in that 16th verse, that the one that does not believe shall be damned. This is heavy. Turn to the book of Revelation. First, you'd go to chapter 20. And you're going to be reading from verse 12. Are you ready? Read from verse 12. Keep reading. Go on. Have you ever read this portion of the Bible yourself? Let's observe something here. Go back there so I can show you a few thoughts there. First, from I want to read it to you from verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, those who had died. They were brought up to stand before God. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened. The books were opened, and another book was opened. Look at this. Several books were opened, and then another book was opened. Let's look at the difference. It says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Everything you do is written in those books.
Do you know about the incredible features of the Seatunes app? It's not just a music platform, but a tool for spiritual growth and empowerment. First, Seatunes offers a vast library of gospel music from around the world. You'll always find songs that uplift and inspire. Seatunes also provide powerful audio messages. Access teachings from Pastor Chris Ayakalolendi, CDD, and other ministers of the gospel for guidance, encouragement, and enlightenment. One of Seatunes' groundbreaking features is its interactive capability. Connect with other Christians in real time, share testimonies, and participate in discussions. Seatunes is a community for building relationships and supporting each other on our spiritual journeys, changing lives worldwide. Visit www.seatunes.org. Download the Seatunes app today from the Lovell App Store, Google Play Store, and the Apple Store to unlock a world of inspiration. Seatunes. where every feature brings you closer to God and each other.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy, Siluco 1, number 18, Siluco Road, Benin City. Worship with us on Sundays. Sundays 8 a.m., Wednesdays 12 noon and 5 p.m., Fridays 5 p.m. For prayer and counseling or to share your testimony with us, please call 070-606-03228, 080-982-62823, or send an email to radiotransmissions@loveworld360.com.
This is the continuation of the message, The Pursuit of Purpose.
Hallelujah. The evidence for us from the scriptures about the book of life is that everybody's name was in that book one time. The book of life is the book in which everyone who ever came into this world has his name written. And as you live your life outside the will and purpose of God for your life, the name is removed. You see that? The name is removed. That person dies without God, his name is removed. If he goes into apostasy, his name is removed. Someone can go into apostasy, in which case he cannot be restored, even though he is on earth. If he gets to that situation, he cannot be restored to the truth, his name will be removed from the book of life. And the Bible says you don't need to pray for that one's forgiveness. How does that happen? Maybe not tonight's meeting, because it will take us into some other areas. But that is a possibility. Praise God. And so, the Word of God shows us that if one lives his life according to God's plan, his name will remain in the book of life. Because the Bible talks about wiping out names from the book of life and those whose names are in the book of life, and then doesn't talk about when they will be written in the book of life. So the evidence is that you come into this world, your name is in the book of life. But whether you will live according to God's principle for life is totally different. That is up to you. Up to you. So the truth is, God is merciful and had a plan for everybody to be in there. But men walk away from God. So it's not God who's choosing somebody to go to hell, it's someone who's choosing to have his name out of the book of life. He says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast. Now, I want to remind you that the writer of this book of Revelation was John. He wrote what he saw. Jesus showed him through the angel the events that were to come to pass. And from then to now, there are many things that have happened already for us to know which day we're living in. I want to read something to you from the same book of Revelation, chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. I want you to begin reading for me from verse 14. 1, 2, go. Verse 15. Go on. 17. Praise God. just to give you an indication of the terrifying sights of the last days. So much for us to talk about. I did have a series of teaching on the book of Revelation a few years ago. A verse-by-verse expose on the book of Revelation. I don't know how many of you ever got those tapes, but that's different from another teaching that we had titled Revelations of God. Now, Revelations of God is not the same thing as the book of Revelation. If you were here then, you would have understood that. But I don't know how you're going to get that. The title is The Book of Revelation. It's a verse-by-verse teaching on that book from chapter 1 to 22. Praise God. But the idea here tonight is the fact that anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ is condemned. And the only way we can bring them out of condemnation is through the gospel of Christ. Like you have in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 1st verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So the only way the condemnation is removed is by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Outside of that, there is no salvation. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there's no salvation in any other. It says there's no name, no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The only saving name revealed to man from heaven is the name of Jesus Christ. And the time for that salvation is now. It says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now. Not tomorrow. So if you have relatives and friends who are not born again, you should be interceding for them strongly, very strongly. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. The Bible gives us a question that maybe I should read it to you. Turn the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Read verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, everybody. 1, 2, go. See that? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and were confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape? How shall a man escape the damnation of hell? That reminds me, I was trying to help you understand the difference between hell as a waiting place. You remember, even though the word hell is generally used as the final condemnation, the reality is hell is a waiting place. And when you read in Revelation chapter 20, you would have noticed in verse 14, he did say that hell, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So the final place for the ungodly is the lake of fire. Everything in it is fire. There is no landing place. It's different from hell. Hell will be cast into it. It is more terrible than hell. How shall a man escape? As terrible as hell is, it is not near as horrible and horrifying as lake of fire. The only time we have to preach the gospel is now. Because the gospel is the only way to save men from that place. A lake of water is full of water. Is that right? A lake of fire is full of fire. You may have heard of someone swimming in the lake. I'm not sure you've heard of somebody swimming in the fire. Someone can swim in a lake of water, but not in a lake of fire. How shall a man escape the damnation? How? So don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. It's got nothing to do with age. See, every child that comes to the age of accountability must make that decision for Jesus Christ. Once a child knows the difference between right and wrong, you got to lead that child into salvation. You got to be smart. Now you say, what happens to a child who hasn't known Jesus Christ? Because that child hasn't gotten to the age of accountability. Oh, that's very simple. The Bible says that the children of a man that's saved or a woman that's saved is sanctified or are sanctified. The children are sanctified, which means that God lays claims to those children because they belong to someone that's born again. But every child who belongs to somebody who's not born again is not accepted by God. There is no sanctifying power. That lets you understand how serious this thing is. And when you come to the age of accountability, you got to make that decision yourself. So if your spouse is not born again, you should be crying in prayer and intercession, not just because you want him to be a nice spouse, so that the house can be good. For his soul or her soul.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow. This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy, Siluco 1, number 18, Siluco Road, Benin City. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m., Wednesday, 12 noon, and 5 p.m., Fridays, 5 p.m. Thank you for joining us today. If you will like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call 070-606-032-28, 080-982-62823, or send an email to radiotransmissions@loveworld360.com.